Dear believers, assalamu alaikum.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الله فلا حي على الله فلا الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillah ahmaduhu wasta'inuhu wastadihi wastaghfiruhu. Ashhadu la ilaha illallahu la sharika lahu ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu rasuluhu. Alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalamu ala karil muslimin Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. That is, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise due to the Lord of all systems of knowledge. All praise due to Allah. I praise him, I seek him. I praise him, I seek his assistance, I seek his guidance, and I ask for his forgiveness. I bear witness there is no God but Allah, the one who has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, is his servant and his messenger. All praise due to Allah. We ask Allah's peace and blessings on the best among the prophets, Muhammad, as well as on his family and his companions. Ameen. We seek refuge for Allah from our own weaknesses, our own faults, our own errors. All praise due to Allah, who sent down upon us his book most clear, and later revealed in the last ayah that they have completed for you your way of life, and completed my blessing and my favor upon you, and chose al-Islam as your way of life. All praise due to Allah, who united the hearts of believers with al-Islam, and has made it an obligation to stay united, and made it forbidden to become separated in his clear book. I advise myself first, as I advise you, to have consciousness, awareness, taqwa, regard for Allah, the Most High, and obey him. Dear Muslim believers, again, I greet you. Assalamu alaikum. Juma Mubarak. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Qalna ik. That's what I like. Yeah. Qalna bitu. Binha. Jami'un fa'imma yahtiyannakum minhi hudan faman tabi'a hudaya fala Kaufun alayhim wallahum yahzanun. Salakallahu wadeen. Seeing double for a second there. I seek refuge of Allah against the shaitan and reject it. The expression is as follows. We did say, down with you all from this. There shall nonetheless most certainly come unto you guidance from me. And those who follow my guidance need have no fear, and neither shall they grieve. And we say, surely Allah speaks the truth. This is the second surah, Al-Baqarah, ayah 38. Today's clip by title, Get Ye Down, Get Ye Down. Narration of a hadith reporting from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. May Allah be pleased with him. The Messenger of Allah, the peace and blessings be upon him, said, each one of you has a devil companion from the jinn over him. They said, even you, O Messenger of Allah? The Prophet responded, even me. Yet Allah helped me against him until he embraced Islam. And he does not order me to do anything but good. So as we did begin today's khutbah, really in the same space, same thought space that we were as last week, we pray, inshallah, that we introduced the concept that it is more than just Adam, alayhi salam, that was told, get ye down from here. Of course, there were angels, there were jinn, the shaitan as well. And as we move forward in the placement of Adam, alayhi salam, Allah says, and we said, O Adam, dwell thou and thy wife in this garden. Again, this is from the context of the preceding ayats inside of the Surah Baqarah. So the first state was in the garden, or paradise. It's also, as expressed, the word being Jannata. What is interesting about this word, as we've mentioned before, is in the root Jannah, it means to be dark, cover, conceal. Now, for us, as we look at it, we first see the paradise, we see the garden. And we were placed in a state that would be conducive to our natural environment. The first creation was created in the natural environment that we should survive in, first of all. But let us understand that it's also to be considered a higher state in all aspects, in our obedience, in our nature. The creation that was in that state was in an elevated state of consciousness, an elevated state of being, but something that is also hidden and dark and concealed. And we look at this word is the jinn, which is also from the same root. Jinn is a conscious being. It's a rational being. When we look at the word, this word, we see that by being dark and concealed, we do not see the jinn in their natural physical form. It is an unseen creature to the naked eye, so to speak. But in that, we understand that the eye is a reference really to our perception, to our intelligence. And we know that the saying, you know, I have my eyes wide open. I'm going, it means to know something, right? I got my eyes wide open. I'm not walking into this with my eyes shut. I got my eyes wide open to this. And we also say, I'm going into it with my eyes open. Remember, we're dealing with picture language here. We're dealing with abstracts. We're dealing with concrete in some aspects, symbolism. So we have to understand sometimes we're gonna go back and forth, but we have to be able to understand that it touches all of this. This is the way Allah gave us the Quran. We have to have our eyes wide open for us to gain what Allah has for us. The jinn were created before the creation of the insan, before creation of Adam. The jinn was created. Allah has told us that. So I've created the jinn and the men. All right, so we understand that the jinn was created before the man Allah was speaking to when it was time to say, I'm going to create something. The jinn were placed in a vital role before the creation of Adam, alayhi salam. In the tradition, it's reported that there were beings on earth. And the jinn was here and eliminated those beings, but then they caused more corruption on the earth. The condition was that of bloodshed from what they did. It was corruption on the earth. And I bring this up because the jinn were created before Adam and the angels were created before the jinn. This is tradition. And there are also other creations that were made. And it's really not the time for that to go all into that. I hope it sparks something, you know, so that we can definitely touch on it. But the point being, in the context of what we have in these ayahs, that pre-existing conditions that were on earth is what prompted those who were in the group of the angels. And remember last week I mentioned that the man, Raleigh O'Donohue, he said that those who questioned the creation, who questioned the creation of are you going to create something, they were not real angels. But the conditions, but what the thought of another creation being placed on the earth made those who questioned think of what went on before. What went on before on the earth. This is why when Allah states there, here comes a new creation. It's a new creation. One that will be my representative on earth. Again, it's already predestined. It's preordained to be on the earth. Even if the creation was in the state, in the higher elevated state that we can consider the Jannah, the materials that were inside of our creation were also part of that higher state. It is to be considered from the best of materials. And we are thinking in the abstract here, because if we know that the physical existence came when we were sent down into that higher state. I think I mentioned Matt last week about the empty shell, the 40 years of the empty shell, and we're going to get into that a little later as well. But if we went from a higher state to a lower state, get ye down, descend, it could be too. It's descend, go down. And that on the earth is what prompted those, and change the page, to the higher state, the lower state, subhanAllah. The earth, again, is lower than paradise, naturally. And the earth is where this creation was going to be the representative. Into the earth, Allah says. Ikbitu minha jami'in. Down into, descend, go down from here, all of you together. And when you want to grow something, you either have to turn the dirt over a bunch of times or you go buy some new dirt, but you place that seed nice and deep into that dirt. Now, grass is the most common seed that does not get placed into the ground. A lot of times they say, just throw the grass seed out there and, you know, just get the water and everything. Now, some will put something over it to cover it to help fertilize something to help it grow. But grass is a seed that doesn't. But even then, the grass grows both into the ground, establishing its roots, and it grows up. It's in a dual growth, so to speak. So as the grass grows out of the grass also grows down, and we know that our growth is that of a plant. And Allah has caused you to grow out of the earth. Important point in this is that our creation is made of the earth. You want to get into the physical, and if it was a movie, you would see the ground there, and then you would see a creature come out of the ground formed. This was a sci-fi movie. Just like you see something at its planet, depending on the seed, it could take weeks to months for you to finally see something sprout up, something break through the topsoil. In our lives, we are being given the picture of our growth. It is a growth of development. It takes time. But we have to be rooted in the word of Allah, just like the plant is rooted in the ground. Also, what surrounds the seed is not just the dirt or the earth. It's an environment. You have to consider that an environment. It is the conditions around the seed. This is what happens when all of these that are included inside of get ye down. When all of these that are included, that creation was a creation that became a body. When Allah says, get ye down, he's talking about get ye down from this state into a body. We got into a body. We came into this body, to this physical existence, because we couldn't survive on the earth without this body. So we have to look at it as, when you say get ye down, that we have to understand that makeup of that body has all of these inside of it. That was in that once higher state, now it's in a lower state. And this means that the earth, where we will dwell, is a body as well. We have to think of it as a body that is inside of all of this. Because when Allah says, get ye down, he's placing us from one state, placing us to another state. So it's just like placing the whole into another body. The earth is considered a body. And as I close this first part, when you look at the earth, it's inside of a galaxy. We call it a galaxy. We say the galaxy. All right. But they also refer to it as what? the celestial bodies. The celestial bodies. So what goes inside of that body is an environment. What goes on inside of that body is an environment that clues all of these characteristics that we're speaking to and that we're looking at. But most importantly, right now, we're just kind of looking at the gen right now. A little bit, that's been so far. Why? Because it is vital that we understand that when we say, get ye down, what's commanded. When get ye down, what's commanded, it was all of these characteristics, all of these possibilities that were included in this. And if we are to get better understanding of what happened and what happens, then we have to understand what and who were sent down. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhabannar. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Get ye down. What can go on in the earth when you have those, as the Imam said, those that do not consider the consequences of their action, who are given to exhaust themselves in whatever they are into, that being the jinn? Then jinn make decisions just like we do. But the creation of the jinn, that being of a fire free of smoke, means that these decisions are not often the most educated or most informed decisions, because they're impulses. They're uncontrolled. And what's the talking point we hear a lot about when we hear politicians say, well, we want to loosen regulations. Think about it like that. We want to loosen regulations. So that jinn, they're unregulated. They're unregulated. The jinn want the environment to be unregulated, free from no consequences. The companies want to be able to pollute the skies. They want to pollute the water. They want to do everything that's unsafe, but yet they just want to make money. They want everything unregulated. They don't want any regulations. Right? Free with no consequences. This is what bothered Iblis. Remember, who was a jinn first? We're speaking about rational creatures here. The jinn are not dumb in that sense. They knew and understood, if this creation is now to be the leader on the earth, where am I in this picture? Where do I fit in inside of that body? How do I fit into that plan? And that fire mindset, it doesn't wait to hear the logic. It doesn't even give, you know, for lack of a better term, it doesn't even give Allah a chance to explain. They don't give Allah the benefit of the doubt. It just reacts. This is how the jinn, Iblis, became the shaitan. It was first the disobedience to not accept the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And really, that's all it took. That's all it takes, really. Because in that jinn nature, and please remember and hold on to this point, that jinn who was among the ones being told, get ye down, was inside of us. This is what we've been taught. That these four, the angels, the jinn, the shaitan, the human, all are inside of us. When I say the human, I'm talking about that excellent creation of the human that we'll get into, inshallah. They are inside of that body of creation. Be it the body you see or the body of the earth, which is to be considered a body, both of which, concrete or abstract, hold our souls. All right, as a politician, that his famous thing is, you know, we're battling for the soul of America. It is the control of our own souls that would allow us to not let the jinn or the shaitan take over, or the lack of control that allows them to. When Allah says, surely we have created man and we know the promptings of his heart, and we are nearer to him than even his jugular vein. Moreover, there are two scribes, one each sitting on the right and the left, recording everything. He utters not a word, but there is a vigilant watcher at hand. First of all, Allah created us and knows our souls and is closer to us than our own life vein. When we think of the jugular vein, when we actually look at the jugular vein, it's a vein inside on the outside that is, if it gets cut, that's the end of life. That's That's for us understanding that our life, Allah, is it closer to us than our own life. This creation is that body. You can think individually, but you can also think collectively. That we have angels that record our actions on each side. The tradition is that we have one on each side. One for bad deeds and one for good deeds. And the one for bad deed has to wait 6 hours for us to repent. And if we repent to Allah, then the deed does not get written down in the book. I think we even read about those that were going to receive the book in 18. I believe that's those that receive your book. And I think this, as the sinners will say, this book doesn't leave anything out. But when we look at that, you have a 6-hour window. Look at the mercy of God. The tradition is also that we have one angel in front of us and one behind us to protect us. Now, again, for time's sake, I would not even go into how this shows us really the cross and the connection that we have. We have the connection, and maybe we might do an extra Talim Sunday. We can kind of go into that a little bit, or it can come up later on. We'll see. Allahu alam. But the point of it is we are surrounded. When you say in front, behind, to the sides, and we know what Shaitan says, where he's going to come from is at. But we're surrounded. Remember, it is a body. It is a body. And do not look at it as just four angels surrounding you. Look at it as an environment. The earth as a body is around us. It's an environment. Look at that. One side is recording what is right and one side is recording what is wrong. And there is that tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that states that when Allah created the earth, it was shown to Jibril alayhi salam. And Jibril looked and said, "My Lord, how can anyone go wrong there?" And then when Allah showed Jibril the earth after the shaitan had touched it, Jibril said, "My Lord, how can anyone go right there?" And I always say, we live in this age, 2024, we call them filters. I always say, filters, for those that need some technology background, a filter is you can have a picture, take a picture of yourself, and you can use a filter. Now, you can look like anything. My goatee could be gone. I can have a full beard. You can change the way it looks. So when Allah is showing the earth the way he created it, he's showing it in its natural state. But then when Shaitan puts that filter on it, now it doesn't resemble what the actual creation is. When that world is allowed to have Shaitan's touch on it, then that environment is a world that has the corruption, the bloodshed. And we're still addressing the subject. Because if we know that we have angels, we also know from the Prophet, the prayers of peace be upon him, that we have a jinn. Each one of you has a devil companion over him. And when they asked the Prophet about you, he said, "About even you?" He said, "Yeah, even me. Yet Allah helped me make him submit. And he does not order me to do anything but good." But what happens when that jinn does not submit? When that jinn has control in that impulsive way, prompts the soul to not submit. Then we have that world that Jibril alayhi salam spoke of as the how can anybody go right in it. But the key in the report is that the Prophet was able to make his jinn submit with Allah's help. Allah helped him make his jinn become Muslim minded. So inside of us is our jinn. Inside of that earth, that body is that jinn that become one who submits. And if it doesn't submit, then it becomes the shaitanic in its nature. And it will still be a jinn until something changes it. These are the promptings in our own soul. These are the promptings in our own soul to learn to live and gain control of what is inside of us. We have to gain and control what is inside of our soul. We have to gain mastery of our own souls, right? Ka'eflahab min zakahah. Successful is the one who purifies it. We have to learn to how to live in that body that we've been lured into. This is what we're looking at. In the Quran, we have the example of a Prophet Suleiman, alayhi salam, Solomon in other scriptures. Now, Hold on. What does Allah tell us about Suleiman in the Quran? First, we granted knowledge to Dawood and to Suleiman. Then, hosts of jinn and humans and birds were marshaled for Suleiman and were kept under full control. Suleiman was given to be under his supervision, the jinn. This is not mentioned in the Bible. But as we look at this, that Allah gave control over the jinn to Suleiman, what does that tell us? That when, as I mentioned earlier, that when we see things, we look into things, it is our perception that is being used. So Adam, alayhi salam, in this creation, according to Imam Muhammad, who he said, is Adam is the rightly guided intellect mind of the human being. The rightly guided intellect mind of the human being, meaning that it is in our nature to look into something and gain knowledge from it. See, from the early ayahs in this same context, in this surah, for this khutbah, Allah says, and then Allah taught Adam the names of all things. Now, even if we wanted to say, okay, well, let's sit down and try to just, as my good friends always say, let's unpack this. We know that Allah didn't sit here and say, okay, let's start with A, let's go to Z, I'm going to name everything. No, he's given Adam the ability to look into something. This is what science means. See into. Look into something, gain the name, gain the knowledge. To know what the name is, that means you have to know what it is. That means the knowledge. We gain knowledge by the name of something. We have to look at Suleiman. So I want to make sure everybody that joins us know we're talking about Solomon, Suleiman. But also, when we look at that word, when we look at that name, we have to see soul of man. Soul of man. This is what I've been taught, that this prophet represents the soul of man. Why? Because we see that he was given control and mastery over things. Not because of his own doing, but because he submitted to Allah, followed the guidance of Allah, which we have really touched on yet. Yeah, as well as inside of this ayat. But the point we should get and now look at differently is that this prophet is something inside of us as well. All of them are. Although that this prophet is not in the ascension. So we talk about the ascension. We say all these prophets, the characteristics are our elevation. But all the prophets are inside of us as well. And alayhi salam to all the prophets. Suleiman was not given to us in that tradition of the ascension. But we still have to learn the knowledge because there's numerous reasons why. And let me say this. Again, note that not inside the tradition of the ascension. You know, the ascension. Not inside of it. But the rock that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ascended to, that is in Jerusalem, the compound that is in Al-Aqsa, that rock is said to be on top of what? The Temple of Solomon. When you go under the Dome of the Rock, and you don't go in it from Al-Aqsa side, you go in it from outside of Al-Aqsa, the compound, and you can go down under the Dome of the Rock. And it goes down into the ground, and you can see what's left of the foundation of that temple. The foundation. And do not think that what is going on in the world today has nothing to do with that. That is very, very much in play. It is no coincidence that someone like this prophet, alayhi salam, that means the soul of man to us is showing us that we can have control over the jinns. How? Because it is the soul that can look into something and see it. Remember I said that we don't see the jinn in their natural form. But to control them, Suleiman must have been able to see them. How can you control something you can't see? I'm speaking of the jinn because I know that one prophet had control of the wind, all these things. But you must be able to have understanding. Big thing is, now remember, we don't just look at physical. You have to understand that it does not have eyes. And our souls don't have physical eyes. But it is what we can use to see in our intellects and give us our perceptions.
So for our own souls and the promptings we get, we can have control over that. And not only have control over them, then we can get like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where we can have them be on our side for nothing but good. Then we can have them in our army. And why is that important? Because when we lose that battle over our jinn, or are we looking at that battle that we have in life, that we're up against forces like this, we have to see that some people do not want control of their jinn. Some people have let their jinn become shaitans. And we have been warned, we were warned that some had even taken jinns as their lords. And we can see that today. Allah tells us in our reading on Friday that yes, and I wear this out about Friday. But if it hits, then it's because the prophet, the peace be upon him, said we should read the Surah Kahf every Friday. It will give us a light until the next Friday. A light in the darkness. And we were placed, where were we placed first? Where were we created? In a dark, concealed place. The womb is a dark, concealed place. That dirt in the earth is a dark place. The Quran is that light that allows us to see in the dark that this world has come under. Why? Because that there are those who do not control their jinn. They have let their jinn become shaitans. And as I close, Allah says, and this is from Surah 18, he was one of the jinns and disobeyed the command of his Lord. Will you then take him and his progeny as your guardians rather than me, although they are your open enemies? Iblis was a jinn who turned into the shaitan, the big shaitan. The shaitan who has other shaitans under his control, or lack of control. They become that because they have a lack of control, which is what makes the jinn become the shaitan. This is the same lack of control and the same out of control that we face inside of the body of the earth, inside of our own bodies, that we have been lowered down into. And if we do not control our environments, our surroundings, and this is what the goal of these kutbas are intended to do, it is understanding that the higher nature in our creation was in a place that we have to grow back to and grow back to be in. And in that lower nature was a place where we were told to get ye down to. Inshallah, there's more to come. And inshallah, I have to give something to benefit today, which all praise is due to Allah. May we have pleased Allah in this effort. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana fi lakati hasana wa kina abdab binar. Rabbana taqabal minnika as-sami wa al-alim. O our sustainer, accept thou this from us, for thou verily, thou art alone, out of all hearing, all knowing.